broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett. This is Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services.
Hello and welcome to Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services. I am Dennis Bonin, and alongside me, as usual, is Randy Hicks. Randy, how are we doing this morning?
Fantastic, Dennis. How about you?
Great, great, great. Late night with the Braves, wasn't it?
Oh, what a game, though. And of course, in the bottom of the ninth inning, who comes up to bat but Freddie Freeman with Justin Upton on first and scores, allowing the Braves to win 2-1 after a four-hour rain delay. And oh, by the way, did you know that they'll be playing three times at Turner Field within 24 hours based on the doubleheader today at 1 and 7 p.m.?
Wow, if they get that in with the rain coming through. Okay. You know what? I mentioned last week on the radio the NBA Finals, and I picked the Heat in seven, and tonight is game number six.
That's right,
so
3-2.
We'll see what happens, yep. I'm not going to be watching a game. I'm going to actually be at a benefit. But today we've got the Roddy White camp here locally at Lasseter High School yesterday and today, and last week was in South Carolina. All those kids are down there having a ball. They are streaming live on TV. If you go to roddywhite.tv, you can see it live.
That's exciting. Over 500 kids, I think, in South Carolina last week.
That's correct. And I believe 500-plus here in Georgia yesterday and today. So what a great opportunity for the kids to be with some of the star athletes here for the Atlanta Falcons and some other athletes. I hope they have a blast. Okay, Partners for Success is a show that highlights and promotes many Atlanta outstanding businesses and business leaders. Okay, let's introduce our guest for today. Joining us is Calvin Kuhn from Southern Floor, or Southern Cal Flooring, headquarters in Duluth, Georgia. And also we have with us today Keith Knabb of Affordable Medicare Solutions in Suwanee, Georgia. Okay, let's get started with our first guest today. Calvin Kuhn, owner of Southern Cal Flooring.
Welcome to the show today, Cal. Tell us a little bit about your business, if you would, please.
Sure.
And what you do.
Well, I'm excited to be the owner of Southern Cal Flooring Incorporated. We're a full-service flooring company for commercial and residential properties. We're guided by over 31 years of hands-on experience. We can furnish and install your hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, vinyl, cork, bamboo. Pretty much, if you're not floating in the ocean, you're standing on something we can furnish, install, or refinish for you.
Awesome. All right. How did you get the name Southern Cal Flooring? I mean, that's, I guess, it's a niche, and it's a little in particular, but how'd you get it?
Well, the short story behind that is simply after working for other people, and I enjoy it. I enjoy helping people. I think a great way to grow is to help other people grow first. I started my own company in 2006. I went to my builders and said, I'm thinking of starting a company, naming it Southern Cal. It was already a nickname. My name's Calvin, Cal for short, and I'm from the South. And I was going to do business as a Builders Flooring Group. And they said I was crazy. I need to stick with the Southern Cal. Everybody knows me by that. And the ones that don't know me, that just get referred to me or see my name on the Internet, they'll simply associate Southern Cal with, you know, the beauty, the comfort, the serenity, everything good about Southern California. And it's worked out well for me.
I think that Southern Cal Flooring makes sense, having the flooring at the end, because
it
actually, you know, it tells them exactly what you do
Sure. And
how you do it. All right, great.
And speaking of that, how really can you help our listeners today?
Well, probably the best thing I can do to help your listeners is to inform and educate them about many of the flooring basics, the myths, and some simple flooring tips. A lot of misunderstandings that are very expensive to homeowners, and I can usually save people a great deal of money and a great deal of time.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about your, I'm going to say, flooring resume?
Sure. I'm actually really proud of my resume and the uniqueness of it. I just turned 51 last week. And I've been doing this for, 31 years now. I started when I was 20. And in short, I started work for a fantastic company. It was called Glover's Carpets. And they'd been in business since 1932. Had quite a bit of a reputation built up. And I was very fortunate that I did not become one of those helpers, and I'm doing the quotations in the air now, that helped his father or helped his uncle or helped just one installer. And they learned only one way to do one thing. And so they might have 20 years experience, but what they really have is 1 year's experience that they've done over and over again for another 19. I got to learn from a multitude of different installers. They in fact, were mechanics. I learned how to install the ceramic tile, the natural stones, carpeting, hardwoods, glue downs, high-end vinyls. And I learned it from all different tradespeople. It was super beneficial because of that. From that, I don't know how my name got out, but it did. And I got hired from that company. After about 10 years, I was hired direct from Glover's to a company called Carnes Brothers. And Carnes Brothers had just started something really unique and exciting. They were going to be the official installation company for the Home Depot. So in the early 90s, Home Depot was just starting their original installation program. They hired Carnes Brothers to do those installations for them. Carnes Brothers hired me to go to each and every single job, measure it, estimate it, inform the customer what was about to happen, bring all the information back. Over the course of just a few years, I went to approximately 10,000 homes.
Wow.
So it was a very exciting job.
That was some gas bill.
And you know what? Back then, they could afford to pay you for it. I made more in gas mileage than I had ever before in my life, not to mention the regular pay.
Right.
But that worked out so well with the Home Depot that the Home Depot District Installation Manager and General Manager ultimately hired me direct to work for the Home Depot. I was brought inside, and I was utilized to help create our installation guidelines for Home Depot in unison with the vendors to create the fair pricing and standards guidelines. I interviewed installers. I went to every problem job. I helped create what we call Department 23, which was a brand new department to Home Depot at the time. And it focused solely on the sales and installation of floor covering.
Right.
Very beneficial. Ultimately went to different stores, started those up, and began a training process for them. I worked for Home Depot for several years doing that, got hired away from them to become a general manager for one of the multi-million dollar installation vendors. Ended up collapsing, waking up in the hospital, and said, you know, 23 hours a day is a little bit too much. Home Depot wanted me back, so they hired me as a Southeast Regional Flooring Trainer and a department manager, and I really enjoyed that. I got to travel to all the different Home Depots and got to conduct week-long what we call carpet college classes for all the employees of the Home Depot.
Do they still do that today?
No, and in fact, that's why I ultimately, and I still bleed orange as an ex-Home Depot employee, I really, really do. But ultimately, you would spend a great deal of time training because knowledge is power, and it really helps your customers. And if you have empathy for them and you have expertise, you know you can't get a plumber and train him in floor covering for a week and then, you know, turn him loose. You're going to have problems from that. So they stopped their training program. I left there and went to a company that did mainly installations for builders. It was a boom time. It was the housing market.
Right,
it was very, very profitable. I met some really quality people. And then in 2006, I started Southern Cal Flooring Incorporated. And 2 years later, the bubble burst in 2008. We became more streamlined than we were. We went to something what we call virtual warehousing, and we were able to survive it, whereas many, many fantastic companies did go out of business.
That's right.
And so I've been doing that through today.
The strong survive.
The strong, the smart, and the ones that have solid relationships and can rely on friends and customers, in fact, to help.
Right.
Well, as a follow-up to that, you mentioned that you went to multiple, many multiple homes. Do you still do that today on all your jobs?
That's a great question. In fact, I'm really proud of that also. I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you've ever bought a car, and you're all old enough to do that, at some point you talk to the salesperson. He said, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Let me go talk to my manager. That's actually a technique, and it's a very successful technique, and it always gives the time break and the ability for a salesperson to say, I'm not in control of this decision. Let me go talk to a third party, a higher-up party, a party that can always disavow information and plead ignorance if they're actually held up against the wall on a certain subject. I've always hated that. So I actually go to every home. I'll estimate every home. I've installed every product that's sold on the market or refinished. I've crawled on my hands and knees. I know what it takes to do the job right. I price it accordingly. I never come back to a homeowner afterwards and say, oops, or we forgot, or we didn't know, or we missed that. The price we give is the price that's charged. If there's a surprise, we eat it. We want long-term customers, and you don't build that by nickel and diming people or providing surprises at the end of a job.
Well, speaking of long-term, you mentioned that you had been in the industry 31 years with a lot of diverse, unique experience. Is that common for your industry?
Absolutely not. Another good question. You know, I know a lot of high-quality owners, some still in business, some not in business, some very ethical people, some very knowledgeable people. But I have yet, and many people that, and I know a great deal, but I know many people that know a great deal more than I about very specific subjects. But I haven't met anybody that knows across the board every aspect from installation to production to sales to warranties to cleanability to whether that product is the actual right product for that homeowner's needs or that business's needs. That's a mistake that's often made. So because I've crawled around on my hands and knees and because I've carried rolls of carpet and know how heavy they are, I know what will and won't fit through a doorway. I know where your seams are practical and aren't practical. I know what's going to take the the wear and tear of kids with Tonka toys and, you know, four dogs running in and out. If you've got a pool in the backyard and you're walking in with chlorine all the time, you know, I know what products not to put in your home. I'm also brutally honest. I will tell you, when you buy that new Shark steam cleaner, that's the worst thing you could have done for your hardwood floor. And I will stand there and explain it. And people are usually thankful for that. So my background really helps me, I believe, provide better service and products for my customers.
Okay. Cal, let me ask you this question, which sometimes can be misleading. Isn't buying flooring, installation, or refinishing the same everywhere?
Hopefully, most people would intuitively know that answer is absolutely not. However, they don't. So let me be specific. When you buy flooring and the installation of that flooring, it is not like buying a commodity. When you buy ham, when you buy bacon, when you buy pig's feet, you're buying a product. The only differentiation between one vendor and another is price. When it comes to flooring and the installation of floor covering, there is a plethora of hurdles. One starts with personality. We like to say we play well with others. We don't come in and tell the homeowner everybody has to be out of the house because we're going to install carpet. You know, maybe you work at home. Maybe the kids are coming in and out. Maybe you got a dog that you just couldn't board that day, and we need to help control where that dog's going to be at throughout the house. We work well with others. I've got the product knowledge and experience after 31 years to make sure we get the right products in the home to begin with. We don't, and I used to chastise people this when I was a trainer. I'd go into a very profitable Home Depot, and I'd say, who's the best salesperson? They'd direct me to someone. I'd ask them one blank question, and that is, what's the best carpet you have? What's the best carpet deal you have? They would take me to a product and tell me all about it. I would then say, you don't know the first thing about me. How can this be the best product for me? You know, it may be good for your home. My home's got little old ladies that are rolling around in wheelchairs. Or, you know what, my mother's incontinent. Or, you know what, my dog's blind and having issues. Or I've got a pool in the backyard. There's a million things. Or I have the den troops come over, you know, every Saturday night. Or worse, you know, I've got the housewives of DeKalb County stop in and they film a show in my home. So there's a lot of qualifying questions. I'll spend a great deal of time up front with every single customer, whether we're doing a closet or we're doing a whole series of homes and they're a real estate investor. I spend the same amount of time to find out what their needs are, what their wants are. Then I'll educate them on what their options are, and then together we come up with the best solution. So I think I'm pretty unique in that way.
Well, with all the storm damage and the water damage and things that have happened, especially here in the Atlanta area over the last few months, what do you really see? How hard is it to, when you have to match wood flooring as an example? There's so many different colors and types and wear and sun, of course, fades that. How are you able to match that?
Oh, my gosh, a real-life question. First of all, we explain to people, let us come out and look at your product. I can have, and Randy, I might have to break your heart with this, but let's say you got water damage that we're going to talk about after the show, and you actually have that exact product that was installed, and it's been, because you're so smart, it's been in your garage or in a spare bedroom for the last 5 years. So you've got the exact same product. We're not even looking for it. I'm the bad guy that says, guess what? Because of your heating cycles and your cooling cycles, because of the relative humidity in your home, because of UV rays and because of traffic and because of cleaning products, when that new product gets installed, it's not going to look like the product's been in there for 5 years. It's going to look different. So we talk about your options in that regard. As far as, you know, specifically being, you know, water damage or mold or mildew or having any kind of smell to it, I'll check that out for you also. It's very important that people's expectations are set appropriately. This is the, you can't see it on the radio, but I'm raising my hand up about halfway high. That is industry standards. And if I reach my hand up another 2 feet above that, that's customer expectations. And unfortunately, that's where a salesperson with no installation background causes all kinds of trouble, or all kinds of trouble. The homeowner will say, I don't want to see the seam. And the salesperson will say, oh, the seam will be invisible. That's not practical. You know, if it's a carpet, whether it's wood, whether it's carpet, these are a textile, it would be a carpet. When you take seams, whether it's your clothes or your draperies, they try and show off seams. They double fold them. They'll change the color of the thread through it. They will really bring out that seam. With carpet, it's supposed to be invisible. So the installer's limited to how he makes a seam straight, puts it together, there's no ledging, there's no gaps, there's no overlaps. And then it depends on the construction of that product. A salesperson just says it's invisible. I will take the time to explain it's not invisible, where we put our seams are appropriate, and here's why.
Well, along those same lines, do you have some tips maybe that you would want to share with homeowners, whether that be for carpet, hardwood, or other types of flooring?
Sure. You know, let's start with probably the most common one. Most people have carpet somewhere in their home. How would you like to know how to make that carpet last 4 times longer without spending an extra penny or doing any extra work?
That's on my mind right now.
I thought so.
I'm looking at my carpet, and I'm like, Lord, I need to get a cleaner.
I want to get one of those little magnet things that stick to the wall and have a big vacuum cleaner on it. It's on everybody's mind. It's a simple technique. At some point, everybody's been in an apartment. And you figured out, because you had better things to do than vacuum, that there's 2 outlets you can plug into. This one in this bedroom and this one at the end of the hall. And if you plug into those 2 outlets, you're ultimately able to reach every single part of your entire apartment, and you won't have to bend over and plug into a 3rd outlet. That's horrible for your carpets. You end up only vacuuming the same direction, kind of like mowing the grass. You're vacuuming in the same direction over and over again. Your vacuum only works well on the backstroke. The Carpet Rug Institute recommend you vacuum light 4 times a week, heavy 3 times a week. Light means 7 times. I'm sorry, 3 times in the same direction. You don't count the backstroke. Heavy means 7 times in one direction. You're vacuuming all the time. You can eliminate all that extra work if you'll simply vacuum north to south 1 week. The next time you vacuum, vacuum south to north. The next time you vacuum east to west and then west to east. You're not vacuuming any more often, but you're vacuuming a lot smarter. And you're removing aggregate, sand, dirt, grit, clay, anything that's on or in your carpet is being removed now. Otherwise, carpet's main priority is to hide those soil stains, is to hide the aggregate. So you don't see it, but your carpet weighs hundreds, well, not hundreds, but tens of pounds heavier per room just because of the soil on it. If you vacuum in different directions, it makes your carpet last 4 times longer than your neighbor that bought the carpet at the same time.
I never thought about that.
It's just a simple thing, and it doesn't cost money, it doesn't cost time, and it saves you a great deal of money. Let's talk about padding. There's a big myth out there. If you buy a better padding, you can buy a less expensive carpet. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes.
Your wife has if you haven't. And it's a total myth. They're part of a system. You can't overspend in padding and expect it to make up for your carpeting. It's like buying Mercedes shock absorbers and put them on your 1972 Pinto. You still got a 72 Pinto. Might bounce well, but you still got your core. So the carpet is extremely expensive. How it's manufactured, the construction, terribly important. And the padding is just as important, but not more important. Your padding is going to provide resilience or bounce. It absorbs shock. So this may shock you, but a 100-pound lady walking in a regular office pump will exert about 1,500 pounds per square inch. Now, I'm 250 pounds. If I'm walking in tennis shoes, I'm going to exert about 30 pounds per square inch. She's at 1,500. I'm at 30. Carpet, which is just a textile, doesn't do well under that kind of pressure. If they're wearing stilettos, they're going to exceed 2,000 pounds per square inch. So padding is a big shock absorber. It'll take your kinetic energy out of your heels. It'll disperse it, and it'll go down and then come back up. Padding can be too firm, and padding can be too soft. It depends on your carpet structure. Padding will also give you an R value, provide warmth, and it's a great sound deadener. But you need somebody that knows what they're doing, and it's very simple, but you need somebody that knows it to put the right padding with the right carpet. Another thing is, don't buy a padding that's going to last you 30 years, which is going to cost you $10 a square yard, because your carpet's probably not going to last that long. And as soon as you replace your carpet and want to put it over that old padding, it immediately voids your next warranty on your new carpet. So buy padding that lasts about as long as your carpet lasts, and then get new each time.
Well, I've got a couple of questions for you. On carpet, I've heard it should be changed out about every 7 years.
That's the national average for changing it, but it's not because the carpet wears out or uglies out. It's because people move on national average every 7 years.
Okay. And as far as shampooing your carpet, of course, we have our own unit at home, and I'm the king shampooer. So how often is there too much of shampooing or not enough? I mean, what's an average?
Sure. I hope you didn't spend a great deal on the shampooer. I'm a big negative guy on shampooing for a couple of reasons. As far as home units or rental units, carpet is a textile, okay? And I share with people when they say, how do I clean this? How should I protect this? How should I take care of that? Think of carpeting like your clothing. And with your clothing textiles, you're going to throw it in a washing machine, add your soap or your detergent, and it's going to get washed. And that's what you're doing, you're shampooing. Then people skip the second step, which is in the washer, after it's washed, it goes through a rinse cycle. So if you're going to use that shampooer after you shampoo your entire carpet, don't believe the directions. Go back, clean out your shampooer, put nothing but hot water in there, and go rinse the entire carpet again. Now, that may clean your carpets well. The problem with that is it doesn't do anything to restore the memory in the fiber. Carpet is heat set generally at about 220 to 250 degrees, depending on the manufacturer. Your bath water is around 180 degrees. So you need water that is very, very hot. You can't boil water on the stove, run over, and put it in your machine, and then start cleaning your carpets and expect the heat to restore the memory in the fiber. To give you an example, if you've ever left your house and you're running late, you didn't have time to jump in the shower and take a nice hot shower, so you threw your head under the sink, wet your hair, combed it, and ran out the door, your hair acts differently because the heat restores the memory in your hair. It does the same thing with the fibers on carpet. So you may clean your carpet, but they're just going to lay over. If you'll use a truck-mounted wet extraction system, go hire a pro. We don't clean. But I always recommend it. Go hire a truck-mounted wet extraction system. They've got enough heat. They not only clean your carpet, they restore that memory, and your carpet stands up and looks new again, much longer than 7 years.
Well, and for that, we use Eagle Carpet Care.
Excellent.
They've been great in the community, and we really appreciate that.
So you're just spot cleaning? Really?
Yeah, you know, it's four dogs, so I got to...
You're spot cleaning a lot.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, yes.
I understand. And by the way, don't ever use rental equipment for cleaning your carpet.
We have our own.
Yeah, do that. You never know what the guy before you put in that machine.
Okay. Mm. All right. Your mission statement is affordable excellence. What exactly does that mean to you and to your customers?
You know, I came up with that mission statement in about 2 seconds. When I started my company, it was to the point and it was accurate. I don't jest when I tell people I don't want your job. I want to build a long-term flooring relationship. I need you to refer me to your friends. I've got kids in college. You know, I've got things to pay for, and taking care of customers is the best way to do it. So I've got the experience. I've put in the long hours and the sweat. I've put in years of researching and training, so I know what to do. We make it affordable because we're smart about it. Buying floor covering is not like buying diamonds. The more expensive a floor covering does not mean it's going to be a better product for your need or just your desire. So I find out what you really, really want and what you really, really need, and together we come up with the right kind of product for that. Our affordable excellence is I generally save money from what people think they're going to spend because I've got a better product that's going to suit their needs at a lesser price. The affordable excellence is simply this. We no longer have a brick-and-mortar location. I've got different showrooms available to me, but we take what we call virtual warehousing, where we have our distributor warehouse all of our products for us. Our overhead is extremely low. I learned from a very good friend almost 30 years ago. He said, it's not what you sell it for, it's what you buy it for. And in our industry, almost everyone's in the same price range. So the way you make a profit and the way you stay in business and the way you keep customers happy by saving them money is to make sure that your overhead is the bare minimum possible and you have no silly mistakes that cost money. So we don't have callbacks, we don't have problems, we don't have mistakes, we have nothing but happy customers.
Awesome.
Well, certainly callbacks saves a lot of money from your side as well.
Absolutely. The companies I've worked for, so many hands would get involved. There was just it was just a matter of statistics. We were bound to have misunderstandings, miscommunications, or mishaps. And going to make someone happy is very hard and very expensive. Never making a mistake from the beginning is the best way to go.
Great. Well, you've given us a lot of information today, Cal, and we really appreciate that. But for our listeners who want, as you've described, beauty, comfort, savings, and peace of mind, how would they best contact you if they had further information or questions?
Well, the best way, go to our website. It's www.socalflooringofga.com, and I'll spell that quickly. It's www.socalflooringofga.com. I would have just made it SoCal Flooring, but all those surfers in California had eaten up all those websites before I started my company in 2006. So www.socalflooringofga.com, or you can email me directly at calvin@socalflooringofga.com, or you're welcome to call me direct at 404-569-3991. We're glad to help. We're glad to play stump to chump. We want to help you fix things. We do everything from closets to commercial buildings.
Excellent. Cal, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Our next guest for Partners for Success is Keith Knabb of Affordable Medicare Solutions. Keith, thanks for joining us today. Please tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, first, I'd like to say how much I enjoyed Cal's presentation and talk. It's amazing dealing with business owners. You think your businesses are so different, and yet you hear the philosophy of a well-run business, and you find out you have a lot in common. And I really enjoyed Cal's approach to business. My business started 18 years ago, and the original business was Affordable Health and Life Plans, and we dealt with health insurance for small business owners and for mom-and-pop offices and people that are working on contract. But what we saw over the years was that there's, of course, there's been a lot of change with health insurance, and still get a significant amount of our business in health insurance, but we've watched the baby boomer explosion. And over these last 8 years, there's been a huge amount of need for education in Medicare. And our agency is myself and six employees. We're in Suwanee, Georgia. And we do education for both Medicare and for health insurance. But Medicare is where people are absolutely confused. They're full of anxiety. They don't understand why the government's making changes. And, of course, now everybody's going to experience that in health insurance this fall with the Affordable Care, quote-unquote Affordable Care Act, being implemented.
Well, you mentioned that Medicare's changing. Why is everyone so confused, and why is it changing so rapidly?
Well, Medicare should have changed in the 80s and 90s when every other health plan changed. Medicare is a fractured system that was designed in the 60s and didn't update, whereas regular health insurance updated to PPOs and care management and other things that were revolutionary, studying data to say, why does this hospital cost more money than this hospital? Why does this doctor have better results than that one? And Medicare didn't do that, and they should have done that in the 80s and 90s. So they started panicking around 2002 and decided to do the Medicare Modernization Act in 2003, which included the drug program. Everybody's very familiar with Medicare now has drugs included. But what they really, the biggest part, was the modernization of inviting private insurance companies to teach Medicare how to modernize. So all the major names that you've heard of, the blue company, the green company, the red company, every company you can think of is now involved in Medicare privatization, where Medicare is actually paying companies to deliver the Medicare benefit to the citizens.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize Medicare was that far behind.
Yes, most government agencies are.
Why should I use an agent, and can I call a company and sign up over the phone? What's the difference, and why?
And this goes back to Cal's situation that he explained with the carpet. Yes, you can always call and buy over the internet or buy over the phone, or you can talk to the latest person they've hired to man the phone by hour. But the expertise is what you need, and there's a big wide range, even under agents, of people that call themselves Medicare agents, because some will just deal with one portion of Medicare, whereas Medicare now has multiple portions. So you want to deal with an expert. But the nice thing about it for the customer is that there is no charge. There's no difference for using an agent than calling in directly. So it's really a no-brainer to use a good agent to get proper advice, because you don't have to pay anything extra for that.
Yeah, that makes sense with the way things are changing, and the folks are not aware of what's going on. They need some TLC, and if it doesn't cost anything, they'll take the time to educate themselves with an agent.
It's almost pitiful at times. I have clients come in, and they'll be near tears. They're so full of anxiety and stress, and they've never dealt with this before, or they had a spouse that passed away, and the spouse handled it. And they just don't know where to start, and they are really literally shaking with anxiety. I mean, I've had people that just said, I didn't know that this – I've been doing this myself for 3 or 4 years, and I didn't know someone could help me with it. And the relief that comes over them, and they're just excited to be able to know that they can have somebody they can rely on.
The lack of knowledge and the unforeseen, and that really breaks down into nerves and tension and stress. Okay.
Well, if the service is really no charge to the consumer, then based on that, aren't all Medicare agents really equal?
No. There's a big problem. There's Medicare originally, when people dealt with Medicare supplements, which was products that were created in the early 70s to address the Medicare shortcomings, there's a lot of agents that became Medicare supplement agents. It's just a piggyback on top of Medicare. But when Medicare modernized, those agents thought that there was going to be just a test, a short run of modernization. They didn't think it was going to transform Medicare. So you have a lot of old line agents that still don't know anything about all the changes, or don't want to take the time to really do an evaluation of someone's drug list, that doesn't want to explain the difference between the Medicare supplements versus privatized Medicare Advantage plans. And they don't want to learn. They're near retirement, or they just feel that it's not worth their time, whereas we address all aspects of Medicare, and we're a buffet style. If somebody comes in, we're not trying to push one angle over the other. We're showing them the entire options available to them and let the client decide. Much like Calvin said, you want to find out what their needs are. And oftentimes one spouse's need is different than the other spouse. And so one option will be right for the husband and different for the wife.
That's right. And I'm thinking my wife and I right there, totally different. Two questions for you. Age. What's an age that you need to start looking into that? You know, I'm going to be 50 next year. And so, you know, I'm thinking my mom and dad, my dad needs help right now. But when should I start teaching and learning all about what I need to get into down the road?
That's a great question. And being involved in seniors and with families dealing with these situations, we're actually seeing people getting involved early because they're sandwich generation. They're taking care of their kids and their parents.
Right.
And so it's not just oftentimes people waiting till 65 to learn about these things. A lot of times we're teaching people in their 40s and 50s so that they can handle moms. Moms moving down to be near them or living with them and to help her with her Medicare choices. So we're actually seeing a wide range where everybody needs to become generally knowledgeable about it, but there's no need to become super knowledgeable about it because they need to rely upon an agent because it changes every year. And that's the frustrating part for not just for agents being frustrated, but for the clients because they're like, wow, I thought we had this done. No, you have to review this. You need to do an annual review, take a few minutes, and make sure that you're still in the proper plan because it does change.
Okay. And my other question is, let's see here. If I'm happy with my Medicare drug program, why should I check other choices annually?
Yeah, that's a phenomenon that, you know, it was a brand new program in 2004, and people thought, well, I've got my coverage with the blue company or the green company, and I'll just purchase their drug program also. Seems to work pretty well. My friends like theirs, and so I'll go with that one. It's a huge mistake because every year companies change their formularies. You change what drugs you're on. So 80% of people don't go and check their plan. And I had clients, the very typical situation, they'll say, well, you know, I've been really happy with my plan. It works great, and we'll check it. If they had moved to even within the same company to a different option, might save them $500-$700 a year because they'll be on a better plan. Even within the overall insurer that's providing it, might have three options. So it's amazing. People throw money out the window like crazy.
I need to look into that.
How does that relate to, for example, my daughter is a pharmacy student. Uh-huh. How does that relate to their knowledge and continuing education from their standpoint?
Yeah. It's been huge for them. I have relatives that are pharmacists, and you go to Walgreens, and they say we take 34 different Medicare drug plans. You know, so they're expected to be an expert for their patients that are coming in, the customers that are coming in, and they try to. But when you have 34 different options that change every year, it's very difficult for the pharmacy people to be able to properly give advice. And they do a good job on explaining how the drugs are dispensed and the formulary, if it's covered or not. But they can't do the comparison between the plans properly. We've really found a real deficiency there.
Hmm. And that then goes on to say that if Medicare cancels plans like the Medigap plan or the Plan F or the Medicare Advantage, things like that change too. Your agency could help there as well.
Yeah, Medicare went through a modernization again in 2010, and they introduced new Medigap options. There are rumors and plans that they're going to get rid of some of the popular options that pay 100% of someone's bills because it tends to cause overutilization of Medicare unintentionally and intentionally. And when people think that they're set and they've got their plan and all of a sudden they get a letter from their insurer saying we're revising your plan or we're deleting your plan, they need to be able to talk to someone that can translate and decode that to be able to make sure that they're not losing out on rights that they deserve and that they understand the new options that are available to them.
Hmm. Well, this next question I've always thought about and never understood is how does affordable Medicare get paid if the client does not have a charge for the services?
Yeah, it's fun. A lot of times clients will get finished with me after spending an hour of education and helping them, and they'll get out their checkbook and say, what do I owe you for today? And I'll say, well, you don't owe me anything. I'm not allowed to charge for my services. My CPA charges me by the hour, so does my lawyer, and they make a lot more money than I do. Maybe I need to get in that business. But the clients need to realize that Medicare has set up the format so that we can help them, and then the companies that are licensed to sell the Medicare products are allowed to then pay us a servicing fee to take care of the client. So it's a really good system in that regard, because the client doesn't have to worry about large hourly fees for advice.
So it's a win-win situation. The client's happy. They didn't spend any upfront cost. And you're happy you get rendered services from the services that they need. So, okay, good.
And the companies are very happy, because it actually cuts down on their customer service calls. We're frontline ability to handle the questions that they have. And it's proven. They've done their own internal studies, because they want to evaluate what's the most efficient way to deliver these products. And they've actually found that through a well-trained agent community, it's the best way to distribute.
So it cuts down on their overhead. Mm-hmm. And in actuality, it's more like commission, meaning the more work that you do, the more education you do, the more people you bring to the table and help, mm-hmm. the chances they have to make money. Okay.
That's correct. And Medicare has different phrases they have for the compensation.
Okay.
Once you make a choice on a plan for a year, are you really stuck with that plan? And as a follow-up to that, when you turn 65 and Dennis has mentioned that's not too long from now for him. Is he stuck with that plan at that time?
Yeah, that's one of the big anxiety that people have. They come in and they think they're making a decision for the rest of their life, and they're really not. They're making an annual decision. So if someone comes in and they say, I want to choose this plan A and this option, well, if it's their first year and they turn 65 in July, well, they also get the annual enrollment at the end of the year where they can revise their plan choice for the next year. And every year you get to do that. But also, if you move, if you have a change in your situation, like if you go into an assisted living home or a nursing home, or you have some other specific situations, then you're also allowed to revise your plan choice. So most agents don't keep up with those specifics. They just deal with the annual enrollment. We deal with all the specifics that happen on a day-to-day basis.
Let me ask you a question now that we're talking about that, Medicare. What's the youngest that you can enroll for Medicare? I just want to double check that. You know, they say the dumb question is the only question you don't ask.
That's a great question, because there has been an explosion in Medicare being offered through the Social Security disability. And this really has accelerated since 2009, since the economic collapse. So people lost their benefits at work. They go and get apply for Social Security disability, and then they get Medicare awarded when that Social Security disability has been awarded after a period of time. And so I have people that are 25 years old that are my clients under Medicare. I have people that are 40 years old, people that are 62. It's just the Medicare red, white, and blue card is your golden ticket to all of these other options.
Okay. All right. Great.
Why are doctors really limiting their Medicare patient load today?
Because the government is not increasing the pay under Medicaid and Medicare to keep up with the cost of medical inflation. So doctors that have been in practice a long time, they may have a very large patient load, and they're looking to shrink it down over time towards their retirement, or they're just saying we're not profitable at all under these compared to other things we can do. And so they limit how many Medicare patients they'll take, or they'll just stop taking Medicare altogether. We're seeing that. And that's another reason why people need to review their plan every year, is because if their doctors are in the network and then their doctor leaves the network, that can impact what they pay to go see the doctor.
So they look at their profitability of their practice and determine a certain percentage would be Medicare patients.
Yeah, we're seeing that. And I've heard numbers at 15%, you know, maximum Medicare patient load. We hear all over the board. But the doctors themselves are screaming about the low pay that they receive relative to the care.
You mentioned before Medigap. Are Medigap plans better than Medicare Advantage plans?
So let's get the definition there. Medicare supplement or a Medigap plan, that's where it's a piggyback insurance policy on top of Medicare to repair the deficiencies in Medicare. A Medicare Advantage plan is just the opposite. Medicare Advantage plan is full Medicare, and it's not two products. It's one product delivered to the entire Medicare benefit. So it's a different philosophy, and you can either think of it as pay as you go, where as you go along you pay as you need care, or you get a supplement where you prepay ahead of time, and if you need care, it's already prepaid. And that's the best way to look at it. Advantage plans have copays that you pay as you go along, and Medigap, Medicare supplements are full coverage, but you prepay for it. If you don't use it, you've lost it. I mean, you've spent that money and you didn't need it. then you really kind of wasted your money. So there's no right or wrong. It's just your personal philosophy. Do you prefer to pay as you go along, or do you prefer to prepay? And that's there's no right or wrong. Literally half of my clients are under Advantage and half are under Medicare supplements. And Medicare is seeing that also as an overall rule, but more younger people coming into Medicare are choosing the modernized plans that pay as you go along, because that's more close to what they had under corporate health care.
Right. Okay.
All of us have seen in the news and heard over and over again about baby boomers and the potential to overwhelm the resources that are available from the medical standpoint. What about for Medicare? Do you think that we'll be overwhelmed?
It is already overwhelmed at this point. There was an article just last week about a $100 trillion shortage in federal funding for unfunded liabilities. These are future liabilities of people that are turning 65 under Medicare and Medicaid. Those are enormous numbers. So what that means is of course, we don't have the money for that, which means there's going to be even more change coming along. Some of the good change will be to stop the fraud. Other good change would be make things more efficient, so that if somebody has a plan that's causing things to be overspent, address the deficiencies in the plan design. It's not the consumer's fault. So there's all sorts of problems with endemic to this government program that they're addressing on all different levels. Care management is a perfect example. If someone gets cancer, help coordinate that care so they're not getting, you know, the same test twice, or they're not getting the same, seeing the same type of doctor over and over again, when really they need to have a coordinated system of care management. And that's proven to cut the cost 20-30%. The Journal of Medicine did an article that the U.S. healthcare system wastes $750 billion a year in these inefficiencies and problems. And that's enough that if we could get rid of this $100 trillion problem if we would just become much better run, better managed. And, of course, government agencies don't lend themselves to that. And they're being forced now through austerity to do it.
Well, Keith, I have one more question. And Randy and I were debating about it this week. As we're getting older and our in-laws and parents are up there, we want to help them. But we were talking about baby boomers, and do you know the dates, the range of when the baby boomers started? Mm-hmm. And so I came up with a 1962 when they were born, so I don't know if I'm right.
It goes from 1945 to 1965 is the baby boomer. So the vast majority was actually started in 2012 is the majority, because they got back from the war, somebody got busy, and then the baby was born in 1946-47, and so 65 years later is 2012, and we're seeing 10,000 a day is the number turning 65.
So I am clarified professionally here to say today I'm a baby boomer. I was born in 1964.
Yes, and my brother is a baby boomer, and I tease him about that, and I'm just a Generation X by 1 year.
Okay. So Randy was right. He said I was a baby boomer. I said, no, I don't feel like a baby boomer.
As usual. All right. Thanks again. And Keith, we really appreciate you being here with us today, and I'm sure that your information has also sparked a lot of questions. So if any of our listeners would like to contact you, how's the best way for them to do that?
Well, I really appreciate it being here today. And the best way to reach us is to call us. It's 770-945-5261. That's 770-945-5261. Our office is conveniently located about a mile off 85 in Suwannee. Very easy to get to from all of Gwinnett. And our website is affordablemedicaresolutions.com. affordablemedicaresolutions.com, and we have you can get our map to our office there at the website. You can get our phone numbers, our email addresses there also.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for joining us today on our show. I appreciate it.
Dennis, what's happening this month at Meridian Star?
Well, June, July, and August, we are running a sales contest for those folks that are agents out there helping us grow our business. We're running a program. If they get 5 accounts or more, they get a $1,000 bonus. And our next project that we're doing in June, July, and August is our cash advance program. We're out there helping merchants with cash advances to help them grow their business. So,
very good. Well, that's great. And we want to thank our guest today for joining us on Partners for Success, Calvin Kuhn from Southern Cal Flooring, headquartered in Duluth, Georgia, and Keith Knabb of Affordable Medicare Solutions, located in Suwanee, Georgia. Remember, you can listen to our show live every Tuesday morning at 11:30 on this Business X radio station. You can also listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7, by logging onto our website, partnersforsuccess.businessradiox.com. Partners for Success is presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services, your partner in processing, where we not only have the best rates in the industry, we're always there when you need us. Call us anytime at 1-855-MER-STAR.
And I'd like to take a special time out and a thanks for our producer, Mike Salmon, for taking the time to help us grow our business, Partners for Success.
For Dennis Bonin, this is Randy Hicks. We'll see you next time right here on Partners for Success.